بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنهما قال: أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعيادة المريض واتباع الجنازة وتشميت العاطس وإبرار المقسم ونصر المظلوم وإجابة الداعي وإفشاء السلام. متفق عليه. براء بن عازب رضی اللہ تعالی عنہما narrates: Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, as we mentioned yesterday, this hadith enumerates certain of what we call haqqul muslim ala al-muslim. What are the rights that one Muslim enjoys upon another Muslim? As we mentioned that some ulama have raised the importance or the level of the huquq and the rights that are mentioned in such ahadith to the level of what we call farz-e kifaya, in other words, compulsory upon us, or at least sufficient number in the locality discharge the responsibility, it raises the farziyat from the others. If not farz-e kifaya, then at least one thing is very clear, that these are important and stressed upon sunnats that we fulfill towards one another. The first, we discussed this in detail, pertinent to our subject matter, since Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has headed this chapter, Iyadatul Mariyad, the visiting of the sick. So the first thing, Amarana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi Iyadatil Mariyad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us with the visiting of the sick. The other aspects in this hadith were discussed in previous chapters, so we're not going to go into too much of detail. Ittiba'il janaza, following of a janaza. That also Imam Nawawi rahimullah in his main heading mentioned tashi'il mayyit, to follow the mayyit, etiquettes of following a janaza, that in the ahadith that come later on, more detail we will go into that. Tashmeetil atis, to say Alhamdulillah, when a person sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, to respond Yarhamukallah. This also passed previously. Ibrar al-Muqsim, to fulfill the qasam or the oath that a person has to take. In other words, if somebody took a qasam, took a nadhar, took a vow, then, and you are aware that this person took a qasam or an oath, then don't become an obstacle. Try and assist this person to fulfill his qasam. Nasr al-Madhloom. As Muslims, we don't live in a cocoon. We have to live where we are conscious of the needs of others around us, particularly the person who is oppressed. Whether he is financially oppressed, physically oppressed, facing some sort of challenge or hardship, don't isolate yourself. Be empathetic towards that person. Be sympathetic. Assist him in his plight. This is a stressed upon sunnah. Nasr al-Madhloom. Help the oppressed. If you look on a global scale, whether it is Gaza, whether it is Syria, whether it is Sudan, whether it is Kashmir, throughout the whole world, today many, many places, Muslims are oppressed. It is a Shari'i responsibility and a command and dictate of Shariat that to whatever extent that we can, we try and assist them. Our du'as, financial assistance, in whatever way we can, wherever people. And interestingly, the hadith does not just mention Muslim oppressed. Even a non-Muslim person, when he is oppressed, do not side with the zalim, with the oppressor. So particularly a Muslim, du'as, financial assistance, etc. But even a non-Muslim, always be very, very careful, particularly in our context, in the country that we are living in, sometimes your staff are non-Muslims. Never trample upon their rights, because when you trample upon somebody's rights, such a person becomes mazloom. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us. He said, ittaqi da'wat al-madloom. Muslim or non-Muslim, be very, very afraid of that dua which an oppressed person will make. Because this is such a dua that between it and the arsh of Allah there is no barrier. The dua of a mazloom is very, very easily and very quickly accepted. So one, don't become the zalim. Secondly, if you are not the zalim, don't side with the zalim, with the person who is oppressing someone. And thirdly, be empathetic and be conscious and be alive to the need and the hardship that an oppressed person, Muslim or non-Muslim, is facing. And in whatever way you can, Nasr al-Mazloom, assist the oppressed. Ijabat al-Da'i. Somebody gives you a da'wat. In other words, invitation to partake of a meal with them. This is something you shouldn't take lightly. Rasulullah said, accept the invitation. Obviously, if it is inconvenient, you're unable to make it, then you must be apologetic, etc. Many ulama mentioned that the context that this ijabatul da'i is mentioned refers particularly to a walima invitation. When it comes to a walima invitation, today, unfortunately, the only thing sunnah or deen that is left with many of our walimas is the title walima. Everything else, unfortunately, has become a circus and a joke when it is compared to what the hukuk and the rights of Sharia are concerned. Today, our weddings, if you read even the invitation, there are certain things mentioned, the exchange of the rings. Exchange of the rings, this is a Christian custom, has nothing to do with Islam. Then the videoing that takes place, then the walking in of the bride. And then today, na'uzubillah, youngsters preparing themselves beforehand, walking in with their friend and then going onto some stage together with the bride. We don't want to go into the details, we know what goes on in these functions. Unfortunately, we should bear in mind that to say, now mashallah, I want to practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, accept the da'wat and the invitation. And we know beforehand all these khurafat and all these haram things are going to take place. At the least, if it is not totally and openly haram, it is at least what we call tashabbuh bil kuffar. Tashabbuh bil kuffar, in other words, man tashabbah bi qawmin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you will imitate in any aspect of your life, whether it's your dressing, your functions, your cultures, whatever it is, if you will imitate the kuffar or any nation, Allah Ta'ala will raise you amongst them. Allah protect us on the day of judgment. So, how can we justify attending such functions when Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا طاعت لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience, there is no obedience to the creation if it is equivalent to disobeying the Creator. Our first haq, these ahadith teach us, haq of one Muslim upon another Muslim, one human being upon another human being. What are those hukuk? Just to repeat, and then we'll come back to what we are discussing. If he's sick, visit him. Passes away, follow the janazah. Sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah, Sayyarhamukallah. If he takes an oath, assist him to discharge his oath. If he is oppressed and facing some difficulty or hardship, help him, assist him, help the oppressed. And coming back to what we are talking about, accept his invitation. What? This is the haq of one Muslim upon another Muslim. But no haq of any Muslim upon another person or any human being towards another human being overrides in importance the haq of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If that person in his function that he is inviting you is committing haram, is breaking the haq of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then your way of helping him is to not attend that function. When you will attend such a function, you are becoming complicit to the haram that is going on there. So in a nice way, advise the person, tell him, listen, I would love to attend sunnah. And this is the sad reality. Today we are spending stupendous amounts of money. People are taking on debt, etc. In the name of sunnah. Whereas the only thing, like I said, that remains of Sunnah is the name. When Ibrahim Devla Sahib, Dawam Barakatu, I mentioned this many times before. He said that when you use this word title, this title Sunnah, you will always find that there are two things. Can never be separated. Anything that we say, we attribute to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We call it Sunnah, we call it Deen, we call it Sharia. Two things will always be there. If they are not there, it is not Sunnah, call it whatever title you want. Make one fancy card, write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, put Surah Fatiha, do whatever you want. But if two things are not found, it can never be attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are the two things? One is what we call sadagi, simplicity. Anything attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it was his home, whether it was his dressing, whatever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, always we see this like a shining light. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very simple in whatever he did. So that his deen and his way of life is accessible to everyone. Lowest of the low could identify with Rasulullah's way of life. His eating, his dressing, everything was absolutely simple. What we call sadgi. So if your walima or your wedding function or whatever it is, if this is missing, simplicity, then it can never be sunnah. The second thing, when Ibrahim Sahib mentioned, Daun Barakatu, he said, one is simplicity, and the other is, he said, haya. Inna li kulli deenin khuluqa wa khuluqul islami al haya. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every deen has a mascot, an akhlaq, has a moral code. And he said, the moral code of my deen of Islam is haya, shame, modesty. Then Mawlana mentions, he says that anything that is batil, in other words, against sunnah, sunnah is nur, anything that is against sunnah is zulmat and darkness. Sunnah is ilm, it's knowledge. Anything that is against sunnah is jahalat and ignorance. So in other words, what is opposite of sunnah, what is batil, two things will be found. One is israf, extravagance, and the other is behayai, shamelessness. And today, unfortunately, Allah forgive us, the so-called walima, or the so-called sunnah, dawat that is given, that is attached to the weddings and the functions that go on, unfortunately, more often than not, these two things are absolutely clear. Stupendous israf and extravagance, and the other is behayai, shamelessness, immodesty. So coming back, ijabatu da'i, great sunnah. Somebody gives you a da'wat, particularly to a walima, very, very important to try and accommodate that da'wat. But as long as you are sure that it is within the parameters of Shariat, not going against the boundaries of Shariat. And one more important point is to complete that point, is in a walima, we are strictly warned in the ahadith of Rasulullah SAW. In fact, Nabi SAW said, the worst type of food is the food of a walima. Worst type of food is the food of a walima, where the social class of individuals has only been kept in front. In other words, only where the rich are invited and the poor are left out. Such a walima, again Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is the worst type of walima. In case we're not going into all the etiquettes and the details of that, just by the way, because this is something unfortunately has become very common, our wedding functions, etc., have gone to another level wherein we are making a joke or mockery of the Shariat. Ijabatu da'i, accepting the invitation. Ifsha'us salam. And the last thing mentioned in this hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, Ifsha'us salam, that is the spreading of salam. Somebody makes salam to you, make salam to those whom you know, those whom you don't know, make salam common. This is a stressed haq of one Muslim upon another, and it is a symbol of Islam. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.